We will continue our study this morning on the conversions in Acts. Remember, as we started this, we have simply been discussing what the New Testament pattern has been for those that have been found right in the sight of God, or those that found salvation within their life. Remember that we've talked about the gospel plan of salvation. That's where our direction continues to head tonight, or this morning, and also tonight, that we want to continue to talk about what was it that those individuals in the book of Acts did to be found saved within Christ and added to the church, as we find that, as it says in Acts chapter 2, daily, such as was being saved. Remember that we know that we must hear the word of God. We must know that God sent Christ Jesus to walk here upon this earth, that He became the sacrifice for our sins, a perfect sacrifice, and through Him we have that hope of eternal life. That is the message that needs to come to us. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and that hearing should prompt us to believe that indeed Christ Jesus is real. He is the Messiah, the one that we were waiting for. We should say those at that period of time were waiting for to come and to bring salvation to the world. We know that we must believe that Christ Jesus is who He said He is. That we must believe that God sent Him, and that in His sacrifice we have that hope of eternal life that comes through His blood. That which was used for sacrifice of all times was that of blood, and under the old law it was the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of rams. And we find under the new law it is the blood of Christ that gives us forgiveness. It gives us perfect forgiveness, unlike what the old law could do. We see that we must repent. The Apostle Peter told those on that day of Pentecost that they needed to repent and let every one of you be baptized. They need to change, forget the sins, or be removed from the sins that were of the old person, and be changed into something that is different, something that is new. As the Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 12, he said that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we are different. We're not like we were in times of old, but yet we now live a life that is fully under Christ. And we find that baptism is involved as we are fully immersed into the waters to have our sins washed away. These are the examples that we will find in the book of Acts, as the apostles, as we consider the conversions that took place. I encourage anybody to take a look at your own conversion and make sure that your conversion complies with what is found within the conversions in the book of Acts. We find many today that preach and teach that there's another way to salvation, that there's another way to be in the church, to be a part of God saved, and yet we find that what the book tells us is what is applicable and what is right for us to follow, that there are not many ways, but there is one way that we go through Jesus, John 14 in verse 6. Well, in Acts chapter 16, this morning we want to navigate over to where we talk a little bit about the baptism of Lydia in our household, and Lord willing, tonight we're going to cover the Philippian jailer. But if you begin with me in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek." We have two letters that the Apostle Paul has written to Timothy. We know them by 1 Timothy and also 2 Timothy. We know that the name of his mother and also his grandmother were Eunice and Lois. That we find that they were faithful individuals that had brought Timothy up within the truth, within the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And we see that the Apostle Paul has found a disciple by the name of Timothy who was there, and Paul wanted Timothy to travel with him. Verse 2 says he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go with him. And we see here next that he took Timothy and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now this has been some controversy over the years. The question has been asked, why was Timothy circumcised? You remember that Titus, who also traveled along with the Apostle Paul, was not circumcised, and the Apostle Paul said it was good for him not to be circumcised. In the first century church, this idea of circumcision had come up. We know that the Apostle Peter was telling them that they're telling those that they had to be circumcised if they were going to have hope of eternal life, if they were going to be in Jesus, they had to have circumcision. And we find the Apostle Paul truly, because of teaching and because of those that he was going to go and to work with, recognized that circumcision was not specific to salvation. However, in the case of Timothy, we find that he was a Jew, raised by a Jewish mother, but also a Greek father. You find that Timothy would have been considered a Jew. The concern was, would he be able to get into the synagogues? Would he be able to go and teach those that were Jews, because they would take a look at him, if he was not circumcised, as an apostate Jew, and that his words, that which he had spoke, that which he was going to teach, would not be accepted because of that simple fact right there. Now, Titus was a Greek. There would have been no old law demanding his circumcision because he was not under the old law as a Greek. But we find that Timothy, out of necessity, out of expediency, the Apostle Paul circumcised him so that those that were Jews would believe in what he had to say. That he would not be recognized as an apostate Jew, but he would be recognized as one that was faithful and one that was able to be understood and looked upon for leadership, and that which he would have spoken would have been heard by those in such a way that belief could have taken place. But we see that Timothy was circumcised by the Apostle Paul. And as he went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. What a great thing it is that we find, even though there's not conversions that we have specifically to talk about within that verse or within that beginning section, we know that there were those that were believing in Christ Jesus and were putting Him on in baptism. And we see that the church is growing because there were those that understood the great sacrifice and the love that Christ Jesus had, so that through Him faith could come about and hope could happen, so that each and every one could make heaven their home. But we see here something that's going to be important for our study, not only this morning, but also tonight. Chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." The Holy Spirit comes to the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Do not go into the area of Asia." And if you have maps in the back of your book, you can find the cities that we're about to read, and you can see where the region of Asia is. And the Holy Spirit has directed the Apostle Paul, "Do not go into that area." So after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, which is in Asia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach to them. Now I want to say that we know, we understand, that here upon the first century, here after Christ Jesus was baptized, there was a different operation that took place of the Holy Spirit. There was a different way that communication would have happened to those that were going out and spreading the Word of God and taking the gospel to each and every creature, to take the gospel to every nation. And don't believe, or don't think, that the gospel is not going to go to Asia, but at this point in time, Paul was forbidden to go into that area because God had a plan for him and what it was that he needed to do. It was not at the thinking of Paul or what he thought was best, but yet he was directed to what God thought was best for him to go and to do at this time. And I want to share that as we go through chapter 16, that the Apostle Paul is going to fall on some uncomfortable things. And yet we see in our life that God gives us direction. No, He doesn't speak to us through the Holy Spirit. We do not have a vision, but God has spoken to us through the Scripture, and God has indicated to you and I what it is that we need to do within our life. I suggest to you also that we listen to what God suggests to us. that we follow what the Bible has said, what the Bible has given, the example of the Bible, and that is that great commission was given, go ye therefore into all the world, that we ourselves take the gospel with us wherever we go, that when there is an opportunity to be a light and to be an example to somebody else, that we do simply that, that others can know the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ because of the life that we have lived. And yes, there will be things that we will do within our journeys because we know it is the way God will want us to travel, that there will be turmoil that comes upon us within our life. But don't ever forget that God is with those that love Him, that God is with His children, and God will never leave nor forsake those that follow after Him. And yet the trials and the tribulations may come, they may be great, but in all things we do, let us be teachers of the gospel of Christ. Let us share with others the great call that comes in salvation through the blood of Christ. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. We find that this is where the journey takes us, that the Apostle Paul has gotten the call to go to Macedonia to stay out of Asia. We see therefore in chapter 11, because of the vision that he had. Therefore, what's it therefore? Because of the vision. Sailing from Troas, they went a straight course to Samothrace. Well, what does a straight course mean? My understanding is that if you get in a ship, and keep in mind that the ship that the Apostle Paul would have traveled on was not built with a nice big motor to help them get where they were going. It would have been a flagship. It would have been that they would have had to have raised those flags to be able to work with the wind to get where it was that they were going. And my understanding is that when it is a straight course, that the wind is favorable, the wind gets behind the boat or the ship that you're in, and it will take you straight there. That the work that is involved in doing that is to simply raise the flags so that you may go set sail, straight course, go to where it is that you want to be. And on the next day they came to Neapolis. We have other passages of Scripture that tells us some of the Apostle Paul's troubles that he's had in the sea. Some of the Apostle Paul's problems that he's had when it comes to the weather and when it comes to the wind. In this situation, he set sail and was able to get quickly to where he was going, to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. Now, I want to share with you that the Apostle Paul was sent to a place where there's not going to be a lot of Christians. He was sent to a place where, we're going to soon find out, there wasn't a synagogue that people would come and meet in. You'll find the Apostle Paul in the readings that we have here in the book of Acts, that oftentimes he would go into the synagogue. Why? Because that's where the religious studies were taking place. That's where the worship was taking place. And it was them that they needed to hear the truth about the gospel of Christ, so the Apostle Paul would go there. We find that in this city on the Sabbath day, that they went out of the city to the riverside. They went out of the city to the riverside. Why? Where prayer was customarily made. I want to make a point here to say that as we go through life, we need to search for Christians. As we go through life, maybe we travel. And I know I've had people ask me that travel different places, do you know of a sound congregation within this area? Friends, we need to find Christians wherever we go in life. We need to find those that are faithful and surround ourselves by them. We need to find those that serve God and can become an asset to our life and our spiritual growth, just as we become an asset to them and what they do within their life. The Apostle Paul said that when the Sabbath day came around, that they went to where prayer was customarily made, and it was out of the city to a riverside. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Well, that's the other interesting thing that we find is the fact that there were women that were there that were meeting to sing or to have prayer unto God. There were those that were there to worship God down to this river. There's no mention of men that were there, but it was women. It was women that saw the need and the importance to pray unto God. And as custom was, they sat down. You know, it's interesting, you take a look at the first century church, and you even take a look at Christ Jesus. Many of the times that He preached, He sat down to be able to preach. Now, it's interesting, I've seen preachers sit as they've talked for various reasons. Sometimes they're ill, sometimes they're sick, their back won't hold up or their legs, and they sit down and they preach. But keep in mind, during the first century, it was customary for those that were going to preach, those that were going to teach, to sit down to be able to speak the Word of God. And now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. See, when we speak the gospel, when we teach the gospel, there are those that hear us. There are those that hear what it is that we have to say. And Lydia heard those apostles, the apostle Paul, as they were teaching there. And she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. Now we see that this lady, Lydia, was a businesswoman. She was one that was a seller of purple. Thyatira was a city that was known for its selling of those things that are purple. That this was a very prestigious type of cloth or a very prestigious thing. And where they got the dye to be able to do this is from the ocean that would be collected in very small amounts. And you find that Lydia is one that was serving God, but she was also one that was working here within this earth. She was working as a businesswoman, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, I'm going to share with you, there are some that will take a look at this passage of Scripture, and they will say, well, see how God intervenes, and see how God will open up somebody's heart. And we run into problems when that's the concept, because we ask the question, why would He open up one person's heart and not another's? Why would He want somebody to faithfully hear the gospel and somebody to not faithfully hear it? You know, why would that one heart be fertile and that other heart not be fertile? You know, I've often wondered about Pharaoh. You know, it says God hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. You know, one of the things that I think we need to consider as we take a look at Lydia or we take a look at Pharaoh is that we have those that have a heart that takes them in a given direction. You know, Judas was one that, yes, he sold the whereabouts of Christ Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But you know, his heart wasn't in the right place. And the Gospel of John tells us that. That he often stole from the money box. That he often was deceitful in his handling of that which he should have been honest with. You know, Lydia here has a heart in which she wants to hear those things that are being spoken to her. You know, she is one that worships God. I have no doubt that she wants to hear more of this truth. I have no doubt that she's one that had done things within her life as far as thinking about God, that she wanted to hear what God had to say and what is God's plan for what it is that she needs to do. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now I want to share with you that we know that in this first century things were a little different. That there was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that was upon some of these individuals. That as they talked, it was the inspired Word of God that came out of their mouth. But I want to say to you that there are those that heed those things in which we say. And words are important and words mean things. Words are important for what we say. And I often tell my two sons, words mean something. And when a word comes out of our mouth, a word means something, and there is somebody else that may hear that word, and there is somebody else that may take that word out of context, even if we're joking around. Lydia had a heart that was open to hearing what the Apostle Paul had to say. Friends, I want to share with you that I believe there are people everywhere that are open to hearing what the Word of God says. And sadly and so unfortunately, there are those there are those that teach the wrong thing. Friends, we need to be like the Apostle Paul in the way that we speak the truth, in the way that we share with others the gospel of Christ, because there are those that want to heed the things which are of the Bible. Let us speak those things. And when she and her household were baptized, where the Apostle Paul spoke those things of salvation, the Apostle Paul undoubtedly spoke about Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Remember when he wrote the letter to the church at Corinth? He said, "I didn't want to know anything about you other than Christ Jesus and Him crucified." Why would that be the position? Because, my friends, Christ Jesus and Him crucified changes life. Changes lives. And I don't care where you're at in life, the gospel of Christ will change you. If you open your heart and you listen to it, it is the gospel of Christ that will direct your steps as you live your life. It is the gospel of Christ that will change a sinner into a faithful servant of God. And it is only the power of God in salvation that can do that. I've thought about many over the years that have been baptized. And I know that there are some that have been baptized, as the parable goes, at the 11th hour of the day. They went in late. And those that say, "I haven't lived that kind of life." Those that say, "Well, I've got all this sin behind me." You know what? The only thing that we can speak of is right now. The only thing that we have is right now. And it does not matter where we are at right now. If we're living faithfully, if we're living in sin, if we've done horrific things in our past that we've never been forgiven of, I don't care what age we are, it is the gospel of Christ. Christ Jesus and Him crucified that changes lives. And friends, every single one of us need that gospel. Every single one of us need that saving power. We need to know that Christ lived and was crucified, and He arose. And He was witnessed in that resurrection. And undoubtedly, the Apostle Paul, as he spoke, talked about Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Talked about the glory of God and the sacrifice of Christ. And there was Lydia, with that heart that was ready to heed all those things that were spoken by Paul. And she and her household were baptized. What a beautiful story. They put Christ on in baptism. And she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. You know, I want to say that during this period of time, during this period of travel, Motel 6 was not leaving the light on for anybody. The Holiday Inn Express was not open. Travel was difficult, and going from place to place got challenging because of where would we stay. Remember Elisha and the Shunammite woman? That after Elisha would stop in there sometimes going travel, that the Shunammite woman said to her husband, "We need to build a place so that this man of God can stop and stay and have comfort while he's here." That was such a huge, huge deal back in this time. And I still remember as a young boy that when preachers would travel and they would go to meetings, that someone would put them up in a home. I remember my grandparents would have Jess Nutter that would stay at their house, and they would have Dean Clutter that would be there at their house, and they would have Steve Hickenbotham that would be there at their house. What a great thing that is, to be able to open your house to those that are Christians, to those that preach the gospel of Christ. And friends, I want to tell you, think about this situation that you have a lady that believes in God. Her household has been baptized. And she says, if you have judged me to be faithful. I did a little research on that. This idea of if you have judged me to be faithful. I understand that maybe the verbiage in this translation may not be the best. But I think it is since she is faithful. Since she is faithful. It wasn't a question about, is her faith right? But it was, since I am faithful, I want you to come and I want you to stay at my house. And so she persuaded us. You know, it's interesting. I can almost visualize in my mind, and you visualize it in your mind. And you think Lydia, she's talking to Paul, and she's talking to Timothy, and she's talking about how they need to come and stay with her. And you ever have those people you just couldn't say no to? You know, I've had those people that you know, I wasn't leaving until I had a piece of pie. There was just no way I was getting out of that house. You know, or I wasn't leaving until I had a cup of coffee. Or I just, you know, they're just so insistent that this is how it's going to be. And there's sometimes that people become so insistent like this that they're almost offended if you don't allow them to offer you such the gift that they're wanting to give. You know, Lydia, I believe, recognized the beauty of what it is that she had done. The Apostle Paul talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Lydia had a death, a burial, and a resurrection herself. It is only in the power of God, the power of Christ, that that can come about. This is a beautiful story. And the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon the Apostle Paul, and he said, don't go into Asia, I need you to come here. And we know that there's a church at Philippi, there was a church at Philippi, because we read the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. What a beautiful letter that is. What a beautiful letter. But you know, not everywhere that we go in life will be met with such great enthusiasm as we're going to find out tonight when we come and we take a look and we see that the Apostle Paul and Silas are going to be cast into prison. And what I'd like for you to think about, even just a little bit this afternoon, if you could. You know, the Apostle Paul made the best of every situation that he was in. We find the Apostle Paul who said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And we find that the Apostle Paul, did as God commanded him and lived a life in which he had Christ in him. And he took advantage of every situation that he could. And when he went through life, we see that he goes and he helps. And we find Lydia in her baptism. It's not going to be long until you almost wonder why the Apostle Paul, as he's in prison, wouldn't go, Father, it wasn't my plan to come here. I wanted to go someplace else, and now look what has been brought upon me. That's tonight's lesson. And what we will find is though trouble comes upon the Apostle Paul and Silas, the great reward is going to come in the name of Christ for more converts that we find here in the book of Acts. My friends, the gospel of Christ is for all. The death of Christ is for everyone that believes that He is that Son of God and that are willing to confess that faith, to repent of their sins and live a life that is unto God. Do you love God in such a way that you're ready to serve Him? If you've not been baptized, why not this morning? If you're living as a Christian but maybe unfaithful, make your heart right. Get repentance in your life and do that which you need to do to serve Him and to serve Him faithfully. Faithfulness to God. Is there anything that's more beautiful? Is there anything that is more beautiful? You know, as the psalmist that says, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Friends, that's what we live for. That is the great blessing that all of us can have. And if you're not ready to have that blessing in your life, or ready to have that, to be that blessing,
that you're ready to go meet God, I pray you set your heart right. If you're subject to invitation anyway, won't you come? Together we stand and as we sing.